You know, we as parents, we're so busy that sometimes the kids are left to fend for themselves at times. Had I not had someone to help me, my kids would have been really on their own. So a lot of families, they don't really know how to relate to their children. Without you knowing your kids, you have no idea what's really going on day to day in their mind.
Hey there. I'm Siobhan Reed, your guide here on Future Health Now, where we're all about advocating for health equity and generational wellness, starting today. If you're a public health professional, parent, or community leader concerned about the well-being of our next generation, well, then you are in the right place. A great way to plug into this community is to sign up for our monthly newsletter at futurehealthnow.com, where we'll keep you informed about upcoming events, educational content, and ways to stay engaged. Today, I had a chance to sit down with Nicole Odom Hartnett to unpack how parents can better relate to their kids. Nicole specializes in blended family dynamics as the founder of Talk to Nicole, a relationship coaching service that she created after realizing the need for empathetic counseling for blended moms through her lived experience. We covered the story, her purpose, how she started focusing on blended family moms, and what she's seeing with parent relationships with their kids today, and what the biggest obstacles are for parents to create that deeper connection, as well as what can parents do differently to overcome these challenges. Don't miss the warning signs she shared for parents and what's giving her the greatest hope today. Enjoy. Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I'm great, Siobhan. How are you?
I'm doing lovely. I've been looking forward to talking with you. I can't wait to jump right in.
Same here.
Tell me, what do you wish everyone understood about the work and your purpose that ultimately fuels your why?
Blended families can be easy to get through. They seem like they're such a challenge, but really, it can be a piece of cake if you know what you're doing and you take the time to work with each other and actually get to know each other. You can't just throw everyone in the mix. If you work with a coach or a therapist and just work together and take your time, it can be easy peasy.
Mm-hmm. Now, who or what encouraged you to go into this line of work? And particularly, how did you come to define that the blended family moms were going to be your client?
You know, actually, I was speaking with a consultant, and she was just picking my brain and saying, okay, let me back up, because it was a little more than that. I have another business that's doing very well, and I wanted to do something more. And I started working with a consultant. And we were just going through some things, like, where can I be useful? What can I do? And we were just going down the line, and it just came to me, like, all of a sudden. I went through this situation with my whole blended family. I got married several years ago. I had some difficulties or some challenges in the beginning. I had to figure out what to do, going through the marriage, getting acquainted with the children and biological parents. And I didn't have anyone to talk to. It was just me and the therapist. But my therapist didn't have the same struggles that I did. So it wasn't personal for them. My friends didn't have my personal experience, so they could not relate. So I was like, I was on an island all by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like my aha moment. And my consultant and I, we started putting things together. And then it became the Talk to Nicole. Mm-hmm. And it just made sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something enriched about that experience of having lived it, right? Those lived experiences right. Give you a different perspective than someone who's kind of, I don't want to say speculating, but just trying to relate, right? Because you have empathy because you've actually have been in that particular situation, right?
Right. The therapist, they can give you the clinical aspects of it, which is absolutely great. It worked wonders for me when I was living that situation. if I had had someone who lived the experience, who could have gave me suggestions, some real life, tangible information at that time, I wouldn't have felt so alone. And it was like a really lonely feeling, not having someone, friend or family or anyone, that had walked in my shoes. And I am a living, breathing person who has gone through so many things, not just the blended family. The blended family alone is one thing. But when you're going through real life experiences, you know, with the teenage, you know, them going through adolescent, and not only your biological children, but your now your bonus children, you're going through puberty with them as well. It's a whole new experience.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that old mantra. You never judge a woman until you walk a mile in her shoes, right?
That's right. That's so true.
As it relates to what you're seeing with parents' relationships with their children today in blended or traditional family units, what would you say are the biggest obstacles at creating a deeper connection with their children?
We, as parents, we're so busy. We have work. We have, some of us are going back to school. Like, I'm in school myself. Mm-hmm. We're so busy trying to take care of the home life and really like surviving that sometimes the kids are left to take fend for themselves at times. I went back to school, to grad school, and thankfully I had my mom to help me out with my boys. This is before I got remarried. And had I not had someone to help me, my kids would have been really on their own. They would have been preparing meals on their own. They would have been home alone and those type of things. So I'm sure there are a lot of single parents that are doing things alone, and or married couples, their kids are by themselves. So a lot of families, they don't really know how to relate to their children. Meaning they don't know how to talk to their children and find out really what's going on with them. There's a lot of mental health going on with these teens and Gen Zs and things of that nature. And without you knowing your kids, you have no idea what's really going on day to day in their mind. There's a lot going on in the schools that isn't talked about at home because we're not sitting down with the family dinners anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it was a revelation when I understood that there were some things that I couldn't relate to, or they would just make comments because I have teen daughters and they'll go, "Mom, like, no." And it's like, oh my gosh, I'm out of touch. I didn't even realize that I was out of touch. And I think that we oversimplify the fact that they're their own individual people that have their own worldviews that they're forming every day when they go out into the real world. And it's outside of things that we can control. So it's interesting to see parents navigating that whole landscape. And then you have to really put on your student cap, right? So that you can be receptive to those, that knowledge and insight and the things that you don't know, that you don't even know that you don't know.
Right. They have their own language, which is similar to ours. It's just they have their whole new terminology, which we use different terminology, but means the same thing, you know, back in our day.
Right.
But we have to keep up with what's going on, or we'll be lost, and they'll be even more lost because we're responsible for helping them out and helping them find their way.
Yes. Now, tell me, why are so many parents struggling to overcome these obstacles, and what can they be doing differently?
I think parents are playing catch up with their kids, because by the time they find out there is a problem, the problem is so far gone. The child is already in a state of depression or whatever the issue is, or the child has already been, let's say, bullied at school for like months, and it's gone, come to a head where the child no longer, they may be ditching school because it's maybe 6 months down the line, or maybe even a year has gone by, and the parent has no knowledge of it because the school has no knowledge of it. Or if they do, they're brushing it off. The child is not saying anything to the parent, or maybe no one, they're not saying anything to anyone else. The child is maybe withdrawing, but again, the parent is not paying attention to their child because they have work, they have school, they have maybe their social life, or whatever else is going on. But again, that's a part of getting to know your child and asking them really deep questions and finding out what's really going on, taking a visit to the school, getting involved in school.
Yeah, one of the things that I found is that I was so consumed with work, I would pick up in carpool and be on a conference call. And so what I started doing was making sure that carpool was a carved out, protected time so I could actually have those deep, rich conversations with them one-on-one so that I could understand what were they thinking, what was their day like, what things did they encounter. And you'll find that when they get there, sometimes they don't want to revisit it, but at different times they do. I remember my youngest in particular, she just kind of was like, you know what? I want to tell you, but I don't want to hear what you have to say. So can you just listen to me? And I was like, oh, yeah, sure.
Right. You have to make sure it's a safe space. Like my house was the basketball house. My youngest, he played basketball. So all the guys would come to our house before games or either after they came home from games. So they would sit in the kitchen, you know, eating pizza or whatever, and you could hear their conversation. So, you know, I may pick up on something. I'd say, oh, hey, okay, whatever, whatever. And I would chime in with this or give them a little advice with that because I want to stay connected. I want to know what's going on with my son, of course, but also his friends because these are his friends that he's choosing to hang out with. So I want to know how they are as well, because they're also big influences on my son. So it's very important as parents that you have some sort of connection, not only with your child, but with their friends.
Yeah, I know we have a rule, you know, before you get to go hang out with a new friend, we need to know their parents, at least have a conversation, you know.
That's right.
I think some of those old traditional ways have kind of subsided and gone out the door, but I think they're really important.
Very.
And the children just don't seem to get it. And so, I don't know, that's one of the biggest struggles that we have had. And then the other thing I think has really been eye-opening is that parents don't necessarily have this ability to just listen. I mean, sometimes they just want you to listen and that's it. And that's okay. You don't have to always have the answers. And then the other part of it is just saying, get over it. Oh, well, or just ignore them, right? Because like you mentioned, everyone has a need for affiliation. And I think it's really, really strong, especially during your adolescent years. So Gen Z is right in the crust of it right now. They're trying to be affiliated and want to have their peer groups. And kind of when you say just ignore it, it comes across as very dismissive. And I think that's a misstep. And I would caution every parent to be very understanding and present in that moment and just giving them that safe space to say, yeah, I'm really not okay. And I want to deal with this. I don't know what to do, but I can't just ignore it. And so I think that that will go a long way.
Right. So for me, what has worked is listening and definitely not passing judgment,
mm-hmm.
or fussing, unless fussing is called for on certain occasions. For certain occasions, it is called for.
Right.
But always listening to what they have to say. My children know that they can come to me with talk about anything. Sometimes it'll be after the fact, mm-hmm. that they'll come and tell me, you know, what they have done or what they've gone through. But it's just a mere fact that they trust me enough as their parent to even talk to me about it. That's what I love about the relationship that I have with my kids.
So given one of the biggest public health issues of today, what are some warning signs that you're coaching your clients to pay close attention to when it comes to getting their kids to open up about mental health concerns specifically?
When you see your children withdrawing, when they don't want to go outside, they don't want to participate in any type of activities, they're dressing differently, they could be cutting themselves, they're staying in their room, maybe their grades are slipping, they're cutting school, just any odd behavior. But again, you wouldn't know if you don't know your child and their behaviors before. What's normal for your child? Because sometimes parents, the behavior can be going on for months, and you're just like, something seems odd. If the appetite is different, there's so many warning signs. It really is going to depend on your child and what's unusual for that individual. I know withdrawing and just, I mean, it's typical for a teenager to just shut themselves in a room. That is typical. They just don't want to be bothered anyway. But if they are really, really isolated, like all the time, and they're not talking to anyone, if they're shutting themselves in the room and they're on the phone, that's typical teenage stuff. But if the grades have definitely dropped drastically, then that's definitely a warning sign. If the eating habits have changed, if their hygiene has changed, if they're hanging around with different friends, different than the norm, that could definitely be a sign.
Those are all really good tips. I didn't even think of some of the ones that you mentioned. So that's definitely really insightful. What's your greatest hope for Gen Z and future generations as it relates to creating stronger family units?
I would hope that, you know, I wish we could be like a real community again, like we were like decades ago, where everyone can look out for everyone. That would be my hope, my wish, my dream, desire, all rolled into one. I wish that they had some sort of brighter tomorrow, whatever that would mean for each and every individual, because they are affected by so much on all different levels, whether it be family, school, the whole environment, all around them. They have so much thrown at them at any given time. I just wish that everything would get better for those Gen Zers.
Yes, me too, for sure. So tell me, how can people get a hold of you?
So the best way to get a hold of me would be, and the fastest way would be definitely going to LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And you could just reach me. My name is Nicole Odom Hardnett. And it's Nicole, the old school way, NicoleOdom, Hardnett, HardNett. And I do also have a website. It's talktonicole.com.
All right. Talktonicole.com. I love it. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here today with us, Nicole. Is there any other parting words you'd like to say? Anything that you wish I had asked that I didn't ask?
No, I think you hit everything just perfect.
All right. Well, thank you so much. It's been a joy to talk with you today.
You as well. Thank you so much for having me. It's definitely been a pleasure.
That's a wrap to another edition of Future Health Now. We're incredibly grateful for the opportunity to serve you with this content and want to stay connected. The best way to do this is to sign up for our monthly newsletter at futurehealthnow.com. While you're there, we want to hear your feedback and make sure you feel this community is a resource that helps you feel best equipped for the public health education journey, one that you'll be proud to be a part of, and share the content with others so we can empower the healthiest, well-informed human population in history. If you haven't already rated the show on Apple or wherever you listen to your podcast, please simply tap the number of stars you feel this show deserves. This helps to get this content in front of more people and again, gauge how we can continually add more value to this community. This podcast wouldn't be possible without the help from our executive producer and production team at Chat with Leaders Media. If you're looking to launch your very own B2B growth podcast in the industry you serve, go to chatwithleaders.com. Now go enjoy a healthy, encouraging, and joy-filled day.